Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, sitting next to Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, Packers-Falcons Week 2 Sunday Night Football, it's almost here, opening the brand new Mercedes-Benz Stadium down there in Atlanta. It's a rematch of the NFC title game from 8 months ago, as we've talked about all week long. And when you look at these two teams, if you were to pick out one thing that is probably the biggest on paper personnel difference in this meeting compared to the January meeting, it's that the Packers have brought in Devon House, an experienced, physical press man cornerback, the type of guy they really didn't have to try out against Julio Jones back in January when Jones just dominated that NFC title game. There's a lot riding here on this matchup.
There is, Mike. I mean, that's one of the things that really stands out to me the most is how do you defend Julio Jones? It's the question that 16 times a year, assuming he's on the field, every team has to figure out. And sometimes you have success with it. Sometimes you struggle. Every team runs into that same situation. It doesn't matter if you have Richard Sherman as your cornerback or, unfortunately for some teams, a Weston Hodkiewicz type player as their cornerback. You're going to have just – he's going to get his production. He's going to get his opportunities. The one thing that's interesting about House coming back to Green Bay is you turn back the clock to 2014. Packers cornerbacks coach Joe Witt didn't want to go down that road, but – the Packers did put House on him in that game way back when,
yep.
And he did have some success against Jones. So one thing to consider going into this matchup, it's two new teams. Obviously, both of those guys have really evolved their playing styles in those last 3 years. But at the end of the day, it still is a weapon that Dom Capers didn't have in this defense last January.
Yeah, and House talked to reporters in the locker room on Thursday. In 2015, his first year in Jacksonville, the Jaguars went up against the Falcons, and House was assigned to Julio Jones, said he basically shadowed him all over the field that day. That ended up being a close victory for Atlanta over Jacksonville. I believe it was a six-point victory, and Jones had 9 catches, 118 yards, I think, with a touchdown. So certainly a very solid performance, not an overwhelming or dominant performance. House did say he thought he did a little bit better job on him in 2014 at Lambeau when he was put in, you know, in the fourth quarter there when Jones was having such a monster game that on that Monday night. But that is all stuff that's in the past. And Devon House said, hey, you know, you try to limit what he does. And he said, it's not just going to be me. He says, Demarius Randall, Quentin Rollins, Kevin King. He says everybody's going to get their shot at Julio Jones. Now, we'll see if that actually happens, because if you're the Packers and if Devon House gets off, I think House is going to start on Jones. If he gets off to a good start on Julio Jones, you may not want to change things up too much. So I think who actually gets him over the course of four quarters could be an evolving and wait and see type of thing. But Devon House says, hey, these are the matchups that cornerbacks live for.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And Sam Shields, you remember those years, especially in his last few seasons with Green Bay, started to move more into that shutdown category. If you go back historically, the way that Joe Witt and Dom Capers have preferred to use those cornerbacks, they do like leaving guys on certain sides, you know, having them matched up against certain, you know, players. But one thing they did a lot last year with Ladarius Gunter, and they did it on a few times with Sam Shields and Tremont Williams for that matter, is having them shadow guys, is having them spell them around the field, having them travel with a particular receiver. I don't know whether or not House is going to be that guy. We're going to have to wait and see until Sunday night. But I think the one thing that we've heard and the way that Joe Witt talks about him and the experience factor and Dom Capers mentioning, you know, how much experience has really helped him in his game, it really does sound like the Packers don't have any qualms about potentially going in that direction. If they go that way, if they feel like that's what's best for the defense, I don't think there's any concern whether or not that House would be able to take him on for, you know, 60, 70 snaps, whatever it takes.
Yeah, and when you look at this matchup, the Falcons receivers against the Packers secondary, from the larger perspective, this really is going to be a completely different matchup, not only compared to January, but also the game last October, because if you remember right, in that game, Demetri Goodson was a starting cornerback for the Packers there. He ended up injuring his knee, and he's still trying to come back from that rough injury. But Demarius Randall was not on the field in October. He was going through the groin surgery and recovery at that time. We all know how banged up the Packers were in the game in January. So now you can't hang everything on health and whatnot. because you got to go out there and perform. But I do think this is a Packers secondary that looks very, very different from the ones that faced Atlanta in those two games a year ago.
Yeah, and we're going to get into the offense here in a little bit too for the Packers. But I think the biggest difference in this game, that just from an intriguing standpoint, from an analytical standpoint watching it, is just seeing the Packers being healthy at receiver and being healthy at cornerback. Joe Witt has mentioned this in the past too. The biggest signs of a team, you know, being able to win a Super Bowl, in his estimation, is your quarterback and your cornerbacks and how those guys play.
Right.
Packers were had their backs so far up against the wall last year in 2016, really in both of those meetings at that position and also at receiver. That's, I think, really the biggest difference in this contest is the Packers are healthy there for once, and so are the Falcons. They get Trufant back as well. So it's going to be really interesting to see those two sides match up.
Yeah, definitely. But right now, we've got to get to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford in this chair, Wes Hodkiewicz in that one. And Wes, shifting gears to the Packers offense, as you mentioned in our last segment, Green Bay does have some issues they're dealing with on the offensive line here. There's a lot of uncertainty, and we really can't get into it too much here in the show because Packers still trying to figure out just where Brian Bulaga is with his ankle, where David Bakhtiari is with his hamstring. I get the sense that these are issues that may go all the way up until that 90-minute before kickoff point when the inactive lists are turned in. So we'll just have to see how that shakes out. But one guy the Packers know they will have on offense and will be counting on a lot in this game is Ty Montgomery. He's coming off of a very productive game, in my estimation, against a very good defense. He touched the ball 23 times, 19 carries, 4 receptions, 93 total yards from scrimmage against a pretty good defensive unit. And he came out of it, you know, feeling like, hey, he says, hey, my body feels good. I feel good. This is the most times he's touched the ball in an NFL game and more than he ever touched the ball in a college game. But he feels good and ready to get after it again.
Yeah, and again, I know I just talked about the receivers and the cornerbacks being the difference in this game, but Ty Montgomery really is going to be a big plus for this offense. Got to remember, they did not have him in Week 8 last year. That was after the little bit of the situation with the sickle cell trait.
That's right. He had a little bit of an illness in the middle of the season.
Then he ended up only having, you know, 4 touches in the playoff game. If you remember that, that's where we end up seeing Davante Adams playing in his that role, that pseudo running back role in the backfield. So this is an opportunity for him not only to keep getting those touches you talked about, but get them for an offense that I think can really utilize them well. And what I mean by that is, if he can give them a similar performance as what he got against Seattle, good things are going to happen. He fell forward on a lot of those runs, and that's not easy to do against the Seattle Seahawks.
I agree.
They're tough up front. Their secondary close as well. They tackle well. They're as fundamentally sound as probably any team in the league, and that's not to say that Dan Quinn's unit isn't. You know, they're very formidable as well. But I really think with what, you know, how they can use him as both a pass catcher and what he's shown and his tenacity running between the tackles, this guy's a complete player, and people have been asking about this in Insider Inbox constantly. Ty Montgomery's ready to go, and if they need to have him touch the ball 23 times, as he said to you this week, I mean, he's fully ready for it. This is something he's been preparing a year for now.
Yeah, I think one of the under-the-radar, maybe less talked about matchups in this game, if you're looking at offense versus defense, is Ty Montgomery for the Packers and Deion Jones, the inside linebacker for the Falcons. You're talking about a young, rising defensive star in this league. He's fast. He can hit. And, you know, he's a guy who has helped elevate, I think, Atlanta's defense to another level in terms of the overall speed on that side of the ball. Now, that being said, you look back at Atlanta's last two games in the Super Bowl. They had all kinds of trouble with James White catching passes out of the backfield. That was a matchup they had a hard time with. You look at last week against the Chicago Bears, the rookie running back Tarik Cohen for Chicago kind of comes out of nowhere. Everybody thought all the attention would be on Jordan Howard. Well, Tarik Cohen ends up with over 100 yards from scrimmage, rushing and receiving combined. He was a difficult matchup for this Falcons defense. So if there are things on film that the Packers can take advantage of with Ty Montgomery, they're going to do it.
Yeah, and Montgomery understands, too, that Jones is really going to be probably one of those key matchups in this game because – he's really the guy, if you're looking from the Falcons' point of view, that could really stand up with Montgomery in terms of if he rolls out as a receiver, if he motions out of the backfield, which I'd say we saw probably, what, a dozen, maybe two dozen times at various increments throughout the course of last season, and then again in that game against Seattle.
Yeah.
He can match up with them there, and he also is really the guy that can lock down on him when he's in the backfield, depending on if he bleeds out or if he runs. So again, that's going to be a big one. And the thing that's interesting too, you know, Jones is a smaller middle linebacker. He's one of those hybrid-type defenders that we always talk about. Ty Montgomery's 223 pounds, so there is sort of that kind of complexity of that as well, and, you know, to maybe Ty Montgomery being able to show some of that power that he's, you know, shown early on here in that conversion to running back.
Yeah, I mean, what I liked about Montgomery's interview at his locker, and you know, there's a story on our website reflecting this, is he was asked a little bit about, you know, well, what do you prefer to do? Do you like the contact? Do you seek out the contact? Would you rather make guys miss? And his answer is like, I favor being effective. And that means whatever it takes. You know, if it takes, you know, lowering the shoulder and trying to go through a guy, he'll do that. If it means making a guy miss, he'll do that. Ty Montgomery, you know, has to look long term, and so do the Packers coaches. They want him healthy for 4+ months here, and Edgar Bennett, the offensive coordinator, talked about one of the things that they focus on with Montgomery is the pad level, because as a running back, the lower you keep your pads, the lower you run, the more you can avoid some of the collisions that can become a problem down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought it was such a great statement by him talking about just his willingness and wanting to be effective. Because if you remember in 2014, when everybody was getting up in arms about how many carries Eddie Lacy was getting, Mike McCarthy was very quick to point out that it really was about the touches and him getting more involved in the passing game. Running backs, it isn't just about carrying the ball 20 times anymore for 100 yards. You're looking for as many touches and as many opportunities as possible. Ty Montgomery gives you that all in one tight, nice little package.
Yeah, I like it too. But with that, we're going to throw it to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkowitz over there. Wes, staying on the offensive side of the ball here, another guy that I'm curious to see how things go offensively with the Packers, and I'm talking about receiver Davante Adams. I think the fantasy owners around the league maybe got a little frustrated in week one because Adams was essentially a 1,000-yard receiver, 12 touchdowns a year ago. But Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb got more of the opportunities against the Seahawks, and Adams had, I believe it was 3 catches for 47 yards. That's the way this offense goes, and any one of these guys can have a, you know, 100 yards and multiple touchdown game any week. But you talked to Adams this week, and the interesting thing that came out of the conversation was what he did physically with his body and his conditioning in the offseason. Certainly a guy not resting on the laurels of a 997-yard season a year ago.
No, not at all, Mike. And it was interesting because he had a career year last year, but his offseason was kind of sidetracked a little bit in 2016 because he was dealing with that knee injury that he suffered. I think it was against Washington in that playoff run. So he focused more on kind of weight training and building muscle. He came back looking, as he said, swole for training camp. And he was effective. But afterwards, you know, working with his longtime position coach, Keith Williams, and some of the training he did in this offseason, he wanted to get leaner, he wanted to get faster and more explosive. He ended up coming back a year ago at 220. This year was around more 206, listed at 215. So for Davante Adams, he feels like he still has the strength and power that he was able to put on last year, but he's also more explosive and he's feeling it when he's out there running routes against defensive backs. So had a great year ago, but, you know, as James Jones, his mentor, has talked to him about, the former Packers receiver, it's about that next step, and that's what he's looking to accomplish in 2017.
Yeah, and the story you wrote on our website, I got a kick out of the comments from James Jones because, you know, it's interesting how long ago these two knew each other and were connected through Keith Williams, who I believe Williams was at San Jose State when James Jones was there. So that's sort of where that connection goes. But even when Jones wasn't here with the Packers in 2014, when he was with the Oakland Raiders, but he saw that the Packers had drafted Davante Adams, JJ was texting Jordy Nelson and saying, "Hey, keep an eye on this kid. He's gonna be a big time player for you." And you know, so far it looks like JJ's being proven right.
Yeah, and one of the nice things too. So he returns in 2015 after Nelson tears his ACL and has that season with Devontae. They're actually able to call each other teammates. But unfortunately for Devontae, was dealing with the ankle injury that bothered him all year. I think after week two,
yeah,
and then also had the knee injury that we touched on earlier. So it was kind of a frustrating year for him, but Jones was on his case the entire time of, you know what you can do, you know you have the ability, and you know you have the talent. And last year when he started to break out, when he started to put together these big games and 12 touchdowns, second most in the NFL to Jordy Nelson, Jones was right there telling him that this is what you're capable to accomplish. I mean, yeah, he saw it from day one. And the thing that really stands out to him the most is his footwork. I know you've mentioned this during, yep, training camp before too. Watching him run through his footwork and his drills and how dedicated he is to that and how good he is at it, that is ultimately what separates him. And for Jones' money, he thinks it's something he does as well as anybody in the NFL.
Yeah, and I think what you were talking about with slimming down, you know, under the 210 pounds and whatnot, you know, Adams looks at it as, hey, if my footwork and the quickness is still there, you know, if I can take a fraction of a second, a fraction of a tenth of a second, whatever it is, off of the 40 time and add maybe a little bit more open field speed by being, you know, a little bit leaner, that's going to add another element to his game. And now we just have to see how maybe it will apply going forward here in 2017.
Yeah, and again, it adds another weapon to this offense, as we touched on. I mean, he was dealing with the ankle or the knee at the, or no, ankle at the end of last year, excuse me. Jordy Nelson was with the rib injury that we talked about yesterday during the show. All three of those guys are healthy now, so having the chance to have them go out against the Atlanta Falcons is going to be a big, big benefit for Aaron Rodgers in this offense.
Yeah, no question about it. But before we go to a break here, we'll take care of a little sponsor business. Picture this. You and a friend are sitting VIP in plush leather recliners watching the Packers on the 50-yard line at Lambeau Field. Nice picture, isn't it? Well, if you enter Cousin Sub's Best Seats in the House promotion, you and a guest could win a chance to kick back on the 50-yard line in style. Two pairs of lucky Packers fans will be chosen prior to each home game for this VIP experience. Enter daily now through December 11 by completing the entry form and submitting. For complete rules and eligibility, go to packers.com/best seats. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, once again here, we're at the final segment of the final show of the week. So we take a look around the rest of the league and specifically at the NFC North. We talked earlier this week about how the division got off to such a strong start, 3-1, the Bears coming 6 yards away in Soldier Field from making it 4-0 for the NFC North. But all the NFC North teams were at home in week one. Now they all go on the road. The Packers go to Atlanta. The Minnesota Vikings go to Pittsburgh for a big matchup there. The Chicago Bears go down to Tampa Bay, get to face a team that many people think are a playoff contender in the NFC. And then on Monday night, the Detroit Lions go to play the Giants on the road. So a lot of big tests here for the NFC North in 1 week after that strong start on opening weekend.
Yeah, the number one thing I have my eye on this week, though, Mike, is the Vikings and Steelers.
Yeah.
A much different defense that they'll be contending with in Pittsburgh. They had a lot of positives in that game. I think Sam Bradford was able to get comfortable, was very effective and efficient. Delvin Cook obviously had the performance that he had in those receivers. With Bradford being efficient, he was able to get all those guys going. But now how does that remade offensive line do against that defensive front from Pittsburgh?
Yep.
You know, the Steelers are dealing with a couple injuries up front, too, that they're trying to navigate through now. But, you know, you see the weapons that they have and how they've built their scheme. And I think it's going to be a really good battle between those two squads.
Yeah, and you look at the other side of it as well, the Minnesota Vikings defense, which, yep, is also off to a strong start, but now facing a running game,
yeah,
completely different from, I know all the attention was on Adrian Peterson being back with the Saints, and that whole matchup never really materialized the way the game unfolded. This running game of the Pittsburgh Steelers is going to be a big-time test for that Minnesota defensive front.
Yeah, I thought that was a weird narrative, by the way, not to talk about last week, but
yeah,
why they thought that was going to be a big thing. Have you watched the the Saints run the ball in the last, I don't know, 12 years. I mean, they really don't do it consistently, especially out of a committee. So Le'Veon Bell's a different back, arguably the best back in the NFL right now. So that will be a big test for those defenders up front for Minnesota.
Yeah, what do you think about that Bears matchup down in Tampa Bay? Jameis Winston, a young quarterback, you know, considered certainly a player on the rise. The Bears, in a lot of people's eyes, the surprise team of week one, even though they didn't win, but the fact that they took on the defending NFC champions took them right to the wire and, by all accounts, you know, had a great opportunity to win that game and pull the upset. So now, can Chicago follow it up with another strong performance on the road?
Absolutely, and you look at who that quarterback is with Mike Glennon now getting a chance to play his old team, the guy that he was, you know, originally the guy for with the Buccaneers and ends up being a backup for a few seasons with Jameis Winston. So seeing what he puts together and how he bounces back, I thought he did a lot of things well in managing that game, but they weren't able to finish it late. Tampa Bay, as you said in the intro, Mike, they're one of the darlings, I think, early season here. They have a big hurdle to climb with having the week one bye and now having to go 16 straight. But Jameis Winston, there's a lot of buzz around him. He's my fantasy quarterback right now. So we'll see what they can do against what appears to be a really combative and competitive, Bears defense, despite some of the injuries they've had at inside linebacker.
Yeah, and another matchup that I think a lot of people will be watching heading into the Sunday night Packers-Falcons game is the Cowboys against the Broncos. You don't see these AFC-NFC matchups maybe be this intriguing this early in the season, but both teams 1-0. The Broncos surviving on a blocked field goal, and the Cowboys looking to get something going on the road. But we're running out of time. Yeah. We got to go. And that's a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com, on Twitter. He's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.